This morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 13 this morning. Matthew chapter 13, and we have started a study through the book of Matthew, one that we began, I think, in December of last year in Matthew chapter 1 as we looked at the Christmas story, and we come now to Matthew chapter 13. I think this is sermon number 38 out of this text. And you say, Pastor, how many more? Well, till we get to the end, that's about how many more we'll go through the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13, this morning. If you found your place, and if you're able and willing, would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 13. And if you're able and willing, would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 13. If you don't have your Bible, in the seat, the back of the seat in front of you is a copy of a black New Testament. And you can pick that up. That's our gift to you, from our church to you. And you can follow along Matthew chapter 1. In that copy, it'll be the very first book that you come to. Across the top, you'll see the word Matthew. And then you're looking for the big number, number 13. And then the little number that we're starting in is verse number 1. Right? So Matthew chapter 13, and in verse number 1. And the same day, so the same day, as the events of chapter 12, where the scribes and the Pharisees are scheming Jesus' assassination, the same day that his mother and his brethren were standing outside knocking on the door saying, "Let us in because Jesus is going too far," the same day as everything that happened in chapter 12. So that same day, Jesus went out of the house, and he sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Their teaching style was that the teacher would sit and the congregation would stand. I say we get back to that. And I just pull up a seat right here and make you guys stand. You won't fall asleep, or you'll regret falling asleep if you fall asleep standing up. So Jesus sits and the congregation stands, verse 2. And now Jesus' his teaching style changes. Verse number 3 makes the emphasis. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying. So Jesus, in chapter 13, he gives us a list of parables. We're not going to tackle them all today. We will tackle the first. But his teaching style now has changed. You'll remember in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it was the declaration of truth. Blessed is the man, blessed is the man, blessed is the man. It's just a declaration of truth. Now Jesus is changing his teaching style to using parables, and we'll see why in a minute. But here's the first one, verse number 3. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 8, but other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came, and they said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and seeing not, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall not see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes shall be closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, and it shall be converted, and they shall be converted, and I should heal them. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and we ask that you would use your word in our hearts and lives. And in your Son's name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The crowds have gathered around Jesus at this point. And Jesus is doing something interesting in their response to him. And that is this, that in gathering around Jesus, Jesus is now declaring very harsh, very difficult truths. It's a wonderful lesson. Hard truths make soft people. Hard truths make soft people. Not harshly spoken truth. But sometimes, how many of you know this? Sometimes telling people the truth can be hard. Sometimes telling people the truth can be difficult. But when they receive the truth, that truth leads to a softness in spiritual things. It leads to a softness in spiritual matters. So Jesus is... the crowds are gathering around Jesus, and Jesus now is teaching them in parables. He begins teaching them in stories. Adrian Rogers said it this way, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable is a way, it's an illustration, it's a way to use an earthly object or an earthly thing, but relate or communicate a spiritual truth. So what you need to know is Jesus is not giving lessons on farming. That's not what this is. This is not lessons on how to be a good farmer. Jesus is delivering a spiritual truth, but he's using the illustration of the farmer or the gardener who goes out and he sows seed. And in their day, it was an agricultural society, so they would have completely understood the idea of going out, sowing seed, of tilling up the ground, of going out and bringing in the harvest. We don't really think in those kind of terms as much, but they would have understood these kind of this illustration of when you go out and you sow, there's a way to sow. There's the importance of the seed of which you're sowing, but there's also the soil. And that's really kind of the basic idea of this very first parable. The basic idea is that you have seed that is being sown. You have the sower who is sowing that seed, or the gardener. And then you have the kind of ground or the kind of soil for which that seed is going into, the ground for which that seed is going into. But this is not about dirt. This is not about seed. This is not even about gardening. This is about the kind of sower that we ought to be. This is about the kind of ground, the kind of soil, the kind of heart that we should desire to have. But this is also about the good seed that God has entrusted to us by way of his word. So with that in mind, let's just walk through this first parable together this morning. And I think you have an outline so you can kind of follow along with us as we work our way through this passage. But you'll see first the trustworthiness of the seed. The trustworthiness of the seed. The seed that Jesus is mentioning here is the word of God. Let me show this to you. Verse number 18 and verse number 19. Verse number 18 and verse number 19. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So here's what he's explaining here. This is what I intend for you to know from this parable. That's what he's saying, verse 18. Verse 19, when anyone heareth, say that those next two words with me, the word. When anyone heareth the word. Look at verse number 20. But he that received seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth, what's the next two words? The word. Anyone that heareth the word. He that goes forth and sows seed. What's the seed? The seed is the word. Look at verse number 21, or rather verse 22. he also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth, what's the two words? The word. The word. What is the seed that is being sown out? The seed that is being sown out is the word. Look at verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth, and what's the two words? The word. The seed is the word of God. The seed that Jesus is being talked about, that Jesus is talking about, that is being sowed out into the world. It's being given out in the world. It's being distributed in the world. That seed is the word of God. The word of God is the seed of life. The word of God is the seed of life. How many of you know this about seed? That seed has life in it. How many of you know that? Seed has life in it. I got this bag of seed right here for you this morning for me. Let's see if we can get this open. This is One Step Complete Pennington Grass Seed. You say, why did you buy that brand? Because I sent Sal to the store to get it for me. That's why we got this brand. Right? And in these seeds, this little bitty seed right here contains life. This seed, it contains life. And if you got a spot in your backyard where it's all dirt, it's just rock and gravel. How many of you got that in your backyard, right? You got just rock and gravel in your backyard. You go to the store and you get some seed. We're going to make a little bit of a mess this morning. You go to the store and you get some seed. I apologize to our custodians in advance. You get some seed and you go out. And what do? You sow the seed, right? You reach in and you sow that seed into the ground. And this is what they would have done. They would have had bags strapped over their shoulders. They would have strapped bags on their donkeys. They would have poked holes in the bottom of them. They would have strapped bags on their shoulders. And they would have walked all over the ground. And they would have sowed seed everywhere. And they would have gone through. And this is what he says. The sowing of the seed. This seed, though, what is it? It's the word of God. It's the word of God. The word of God has life in it. The word of God, there's the presence of God in the word of God. That's your first blank. The presence of God. It's the seed. The seed is the word. What's so important about the seed? The seed is the presence of God. It's the word of God. Jesus says, the words that I deliver unto you, they are spirit. John chapter 6, verse number 63. They are spirit and they are life. The words that I deliver unto you, what are they? They aren't just words on a sheet of paper. This isn't just ink on paper. That's not what we gather together this morning to read and study and learn. No, we're coming together to receive spirit and to receive life by what? By the word. The word of God, the trustworthiness of the seed. You see it in its presence, in that it has life. My hands are all a mess now, and they smell like fertilizer. So don't shake my hand at the end of the service. That's what that means. It's the presence of the seed. Number two, the productivity of the seed. The seed, its presence in our life, it brings life, but also its productivity. It's God's word. It's God's word that does God's work. It's God's word that does God's work. And notice the productivity of the work. Some seed 30-fold, some seed 60-fold, some seed 100-fold. Some seed 30, some seed 60, some seed 100. It's the word of God that does the work of God. The word of God accomplishes the work of God. Not you, not me, it's the word of God. How does the work of God get done? The work of God gets done by His Word, through His Word. This is what our congregation needs, the Word of God. This is what our kids need, the Word of God. This is what our community needs, the Word of God. It's the Word of God that does the work of God. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in trying to change somebody through our own words. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in trying to impact someone through our own wisdom. Sometimes we try of our own word to change somebody. But listen, what does the work of God? The word of God. What does the work of God? The word of God. We're about to start school back. Hey, listen, school teacher, what does the work of God in the heart of the student? It's the word of God. It's the word of God. The work of God is accomplished through the Word of God. And listen, God's Word is sufficient. God's Word is sufficient to do His work. Here's what He's saying. The sower went out and he was just sowing seed. He was sowing seed everywhere he went. He was sowing the seed. Why? Because the seed is sufficient to do the work. The Word of God, the seed that is being sown, it is sufficient in order to accomplish the work. So we see the seed, the Word of God, its presence. The Word of God, its productivity. The Word of God, its power. The Word of God, its power. How many of you know that if you just take one of these little things right here and just all by itself, without burying it down into the ground, that this thing has no power in it whatsoever, right? There's no power in there. And yet, how many of you have seen concrete that's been busted up because an acorn got underneath that concrete, or a tree from a seed got underneath, or the seed of a tree got underneath that, the seed of a tree. I don't know what that would be, but the seed of a tree got underneath that concrete and it went unnoticed and it went taken care of, and it started breaking up the concrete. Now the concrete's all busted out of place, right? It's a powerful thing. The Word of God, the seed is the Word of God, in that its presence brings life 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It's the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God in that it is productive. It's the work of God that gets accomplished by the Word of God. But then also, it's the seed. The seed is the Word of God in that it is powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Jeremiah said, "It's not my word. It's not my word like a fire and a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces." Well, what breaks the rock into pieces? The Word of God does. It's the Word of God. So the Word of God, you see the trustworthiness of the seed. The trustworthiness of the seed. The Word of God is powerful enough that it can change a nation. The Word of God is powerful enough that it can transform even a primitive tribe. The Word of God is powerful enough that it can revolutionize a life. It can revolutionize a life. God's Word is sufficient for God's work. So the trustworthiness of the seed. Number two, notice this, the task of the sower. The task of the sower. So if we believe that God's Word does God's work, then there should be a measure of diligence that we take to the getting out of the Word of God. There should be a measure of diligence. There should be a measure of responsibility. There should be a concerted effort to get out the Word of God, planting it into people's hearts, planting it into people's lives. If we really believe in the sufficiency of the Word of God, we'll spend less time giving our opinions. We'll spend less time telling our stories. We'll spend less time drawing people to ourselves. We'll spend less time putting on a show, and we'll spend more time committing people to God's Word. More time committing people to God's Word. The responsibility of the sower. It's the sower's job to do one thing. What's the job of the sower? It's the sower's job to do one thing, to get the seed out. That's it. It's the sower's job. It's our job to just do one thing. What is it? It's to just get the seed out. Having the seed in the bag, knowing, oh, wow, this seed, you know, if you planted this in your yard, you'd have grass. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it good? Wouldn't you love to have grass? Aren't you thankful we've got seed for grass? Just having it in the bag, it doesn't work. How many of you know this bag, as is, with the seed in it, will never grow grass like this? No, you got to get the seed out. There's the task of the sower. There's the task of the sower. What's the task? The task is to get the seed out. That's verse number 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. What was his job? What was he going forth to do? To sow. That's what he was going to do. He was going forth, he was moving forward to do what? To give out the Word of God. How should we do that? We should give out the seed. We should give it out plentifully. Listen, beloved, we should give it out plentifully. You see how he goes? Where does he go? He goes in verse number 4, and when he sowed. And when he sowed some seeds, they went by the wayside. Verse number 6, and some seeds, they fell by the stony places. Verse 5. Verse number 7, and some seed fell on the thorns. Verse number 8, and others fell upon the good ground. Just at the surface reading of that, what is the sower doing? What is the sower doing? He's not just going, oh, okay, little touch there. Yeah, little touch there. Oh, look, a little pinch of seed right there. That'll be good. Let's take this one seed and put it over here. Is that what he's doing? No. What's he doing? He's sowing. He's sowing it plentifully. It's almost like he doesn't even care where it goes. He's just throwing out the seed. He's giving out some of it good ground, some of it stony ground, some of it thorny ground, some of it on the path. He's saying some of it even landed on the concrete. The sower didn't care. He was just giving out the word of God. Almost as if to say this, almost as if to teach us that as the sowers, it's not our job to judge if the ground can handle the seed. Almost to teach us, it's not the sower's job to determine, well, he can't receive it, he can't hear it, I'm not telling him that, I'm not telling her this, I'm not telling them the truth. Almost as if to teach us that as the sower, we have one job, sow the seed and let God judge the soil. Our job, sow the seed, let God judge the soil. That's what he's teaching us. The task of the sower, what is it? It is to sow the seed, it's to sow the seed plentifully. It's to sow the seed plentifully. I believe Jesus understands and is communicating even what Paul communicated in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. He that sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He that sows plentifully, reaps bountifully, reaps plentifully. We don't just want a pinch of the Word of God. We don't just want a pinch of the Word of God. We don't just want a touch of the Word of God. We don't just want a little bit of God's Word. We want to plant as much seed as we possibly can. And that's why Paul in Acts chapter 20, he says this to the church. He says, we did not fail. We did not come up short in delivering all the counsel of God. We didn't come up short. We didn't pull up shy in delivering to you all of the counsel of God. We didn't hold back. We gave you the full and all the counsel of God's word. But that's why we take the approach to preaching and teaching that we do. It's next verse, next chapter, verse by verse, book by book, letter by letter through the Bible. You say, Pastor, when will we be done? When we have studied all of the Bible. And you know what we'll do then? We'll start over again. Because what we began with, you will have forgotten at that point. It's verse by verse, line by line, through the Bible. That's what we gather together to do. We fail not. We didn't come up short. We didn't pull back at doing what? At delivering to you all the counsel of God. It's not how the Word of God gets out. It's how much of the Word of God is getting out. It's not how the word gets out. It's how much of the word is getting out. You can get it right. You can see them in the field. The one person on this row sowing seed, the other person on their row sowing seed, and you can hear him. Oh my goodness, I can't believe that he would even use that form in throwing seed. That's just such bad seed throwing form. You can hear the criticism of it, can't you? Who would dare throw seed like that? Everybody knows you go behind the back when you throw seed. It's a little Magic Johnson, little Showtime Lakers pass for you right there, right? Everybody knows that. Oh my goodness, he just likes to throw seed behind his back. He's doing that for his own glory, right? You can catch it, can't you? Oh, the criticism of criticizing how someone is getting out seed. The question is not how you're getting out the seed. The question is how much seed are you getting out? So plentifully. So plentifully. It's not your job. It's not my job to judge the ground. Let's leave that to God. It's our job to give out the seed, to give out the seed, to give out the seed. By the way, that's what I want to do as a pastor of the congregation. sow out the seed of God's word. Why? Because 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All scripture is profitable. The word of God, its presence, it's the word of God, its power, the word of God, it is productive. And so we want to give out the word of God because it is profitable. When that presence, when that power, when that productivity is working in your life, in my life, it's good for us. It's good for us. So we want to give out the seed, pastor to the congregation. That's why you ought to be in church. That's why you ought to be in church. You ought to carve out time to be in church. You ought to make sure that you are not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Why? Because we're giving out the seed of the Word of God. And when that seed hits your heart, when that seed hits your life, it's profitable for you. It's profitable. It's profitable for your kids. It's profitable for your marriage. It's profitable for your business. It's profitable for your finances. It's profitable for your relationship. It's profitable. That's what we want to do as pastors, the congregation. Not just that, but even parents with our kids. What do we want to do? We want to give out the Word of God. Our philosophy should be that of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. That's the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6. Let me find it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, that would help if I could find it. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command unto you this day shall be in thine heart. And listen to the instruction to us as parents, us as teachers, to us who have people looking to us or in our direction following after us. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them on the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. What's he saying? He's saying, make a priority in parenting, make a priority in leading to get out the Word of God. Listen, with our kids, it's not, you know what, we'll go to church if we can make it. We'll do our best to get there. But, you know, Wednesdays are tough. Middle of the week is difficult. I mean, I want you in Kids Rally. I want you in the midweek teen service. These things are important. No. It's not maybe if we make it. It's, no, we're making it. We're making it a priority to get into the church because the church is making a priority of giving out the seed, the Word of God. It's the Word of God that our kids need. Not just a pinch. Not just Sunday school this month, and if we can make it, you know, we can't commit all the time. No, that's not good enough. The philosophy has to be pour out the Word of God. Pour it out in plenty in our kids' hearts and in our kids' lives. If we believe in the trustworthiness of the seed, then certainly we will give it out plentifully. Plentifully. We'll make it a priority to get our kids under the sound of the teaching of the Word of God. By the way, that's why we have the programs that we have here at First Baptist. That's why we have the teen program that we have. That's why we have the school program. That's why we have the kids program on Wednesday night. Why? Because we want to take every opportunity to pour out the Word of God. To pour out the Word of God. Pastor to congregation, parents to kids, but watch this, people to the community. People to the community. The community does not need the Word of God just once a month. It does not need the Word of God just once in a while. It needs the Word of God constantly, consistently, plentifully. Why? Because the Word of God is it's live. Its presence in our life brings life. It brings fruit because it's powerful, because it's productive. That's why. So we want to get the Word of God out. Here's what I'm talking about. Getting the Word of God out in our neighborhoods by word of mouth. Getting the Word of God out in our offices by talking about what we learned. Getting the Word of God out by talking to our friends and relationships about church. Getting the Word of God out. How many of you have ever received one of First Baptist's door hangers on your door? Let me see. You've ever received one of those? We do those a lot. Yeah. Getting the Word of God out. I'm talking about getting the Word of God out in every way possible through the Reformers program. through the addiction-based program, through the bus program, getting the Word of God out. Whether it's even through a special day, it's getting the Word of God out. We have Friend Day coming up. You have an advertisement for it in your bulletin, getting the Word of God out. What do we want to do? We want to take every opportunity to get God's Word out. Why? Because God's Word is life. Because God's Word is life, and so we want to get out the Word of God. We want to take every opportunity. Friend Day coming up. We should be involved in that. You should ask yourself, in what way are you going to be involved in Friend Day in helping us as a church get out the Word of God? Again, it's not how the Word of God is getting out. It's how much is getting out. How much is getting out? Friend Day. Well, I don't think we should call it Friend Day. It should be more culturally acceptable. Let's call it Amigo Day, right? You can call it whatever you want to call it. I don't care. Let's get the Word of God out. Let's get the Word of God out. It's Friend Day. It's First Responder Sunday. It's the Missions Conference Day. It's whatever it is. It's the Christmas program, the Easter program. It's not how. It's how much. How much of God's Word are we giving out? We need to sow. We need to sow the seed plentifully. We need to sow the seed passionately. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We need to sow the seed passionately. By the way, that's why our pastoral staff works as diligently as they do in order to deliver messages from God's Word. It's not just lecture format. We're preaching as a dying man to dying men. We're delivering the Word of God to you passionately. And by the way, that's my job in the church, not yours. That's my job in the church, not yours. To the degree that you start saying, hey, I want to make this about me. I want to make this about what I can do. I want to make this about how I can be seen. No, that's when security moves in from the back and drags you out. Why? Because we're here for the Word of God. That's why. We're here for the Word of God. And aren't we thankful for the security in the back? They're in the front too, just in case you get any ideas of bum rushing the pastor, all right? We deliver the Word of God plentifully. We deliver the Word of God passionately. Number three, though, we deliver the Word of God how? Patiently. Patiently. God works in those who wait. God works in those who wait. Man, we sowed this seed, about 20 minutes ago, 25 minutes ago, and we don't have any grass yet. It must not work. It must not work. How many of you know that's not the way it works? If you throw out seed in your backyard this afternoon, then you show up again this evening and you go, what? No grass. I threw it out. It said it was quick. How many of you know you got a bad understanding of the way seed works? You got a bad understanding of the way seed works. It works, but it works in time. We need to be patient. We're living in the age of impatience. Hey, listen, mom and dad, don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your kids. The seed of the Word of God was sown into their heart. Be patient. Be patient. Don't give up. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. It's patient. It's waiting. Listen, our job is to sow the seed. God's job is to grow the seed. And that will probably take longer than you think. Our job is to sow. God's job is to grow. It will probably take longer than you thought it would take. It will probably take longer than you thought it would take. I honestly think we tend to overestimate what we can accomplish in a year or two, and I think we underestimate what God can do in a decade. We tend to overestimate what me and you can do in a year or two, and we tend to underestimate what God can do in a decade. What are we doing? We're trying to sow the seed. We want to sow it plentifully. We want to sow it passionately. But we also want to sow it patiently. Patiently sowing the seed. We're not talking about 15 minutes of faith. We're talking about 50 years of faithfulness to God. We're not talking about 15 minutes of faith. We're talking about 50 years of faithfulness to God. Moreover, it is required of a man that the steward be found faithful. Just faithful. Just faithful. The longer I live, the older I get, the more appreciation I have for people who are just faithful people, just faithful to his wife. Just faithful to the same lady for 35, 40, 50 years. Just faithful. Well, just a lack of faithful men. Impatient men. Just faithful. Faithful to our wife, faithful to our kids, faithful to the church, faithful to God. Faithful to God. I've shared this with many, but when Amanda and I, we moved here, we talked about this. We said, well, I want the Lord to give us decades of faithfulness. Pastor, what are we trying to accomplish at First Baptist? Well, I can tell you this, we're not going to accomplish it in 1 year. We're going to accomplish it in a decade or two. Most of you will be dead or gone by then, but we're going to accomplish it then. Some of you are like, a decade? Oh my word, I've got a couple of years left. What is it? It's committing to something for the long term. It's committing to something for the long term. By the way, that's what you did, sir, when you entered into those marriage vows. You committed to the long term. Yeah, but she's not meeting my needs. You're still committed to the long term. For better or worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, in poverty and wealth, forsaking all others, keeping yourself only for her, so long as you both shall live. Well, that got quiet. Let's move on. Trustworthiness of the seed, the task of the sower. We want to be faithful. We want to be diligent. We want to give it out plentifully. We want to give it out passionately. But number three, last one, the types of the soil. Types of the soil. The soil is the heart. I love what Vine said on this point. As he said, the human heart can be an ugly jungle or a beautiful garden. The human heart, it can be an ugly jungle or a beautiful garden. God's word has to take root before it can bring fruit. God's word has to take root before it can bring fruit. How many of you know that this is not an adequate soil to grow grass on? I mean, we could get the water hose in here. We won't, because the janitor staff will be really mad at me at that point. And we could start watering this. We could bust a hole in the roof, and we can make sure it gets sunlight. And how many of you know, no matter how much we water, no matter how much light we give it, this carpet is never going to grow grass. It's not. Why? Because the soil. Four kinds of soil here. There's four kinds of soil. He says there's first this, we're going to call it for your outline's sake, there's the closed heart. That's verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Look at how he explains this. He goes on to explain this seed or this soil. This is verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth it away, and that which is sown in his heart. Okay, so he's not talking about ground. He's not talking about dirt. What's he talking about? He's talking about the heart. The soil is the heart. The seed is the word of God. We are the sowers. We're to give out the word of God, but the soil is our heart, and some of our hearts are closed. He's talking about the path. It's a picture of an impenetrable heart. The seed, it doesn't matter how much seed you throw at it, it doesn't matter. Why? Because the heart is hard. The heart is closed. I really want grass. I really want grass right here. Let me just put a whole bunch of seed right in one spot. Now, we're going to, hey, I got a bottle of water right here. Now, no, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You gasped. But it's not going to work. How many of you know it's not going to grow grass? That's what he's saying, that there is a way in which we close our heart to spiritual truth. There is a way in which we close our heart to spiritual things. There is a way in which we turn our heart from God and we go after our own gods. That's Romans 1, Romans 2, Romans 3, that they changed the image of the incorruptible God to an image of corruptible hands. They worship stone and wood and metal more than worshipped the living God of the universe. They changed the image. Why? Because their heart was impenetrable. Their heart was impenetrable. The seed, for the seed to germinate, it must penetrate the heart. For God's word to bring forth fruit, God's word must take root. Isn't that a nice way to remember that? For God's word to bring forth fruit, God's word must take fruit. Notice how fast the devil is working to snatch away fruit. To snatch away. The seed sown, snatch it away. And immediately, he says, and immediately, verse number 19, and he catcheth away that which is sown in the heart. He immediately works to steal away the seed of God's word. By the way, Satan does this in several ways. He tries to keep us from giving serious attention to the word of God. He tries to distract us. He puts a dozen distractions around us on a service like this. Did you see her? Did you see him? Is that guy sleeping? Is his head bobbing like that on purpose? Is that? Oh, look at her. Look at them. Look at that. He puts a dozen distractions in front of us in order to do what? In order to steal away the seed. In order to steal away the seed. He'll try to steal away the seed before you get out of the parking lot. He'll try to steal away the seed before you even exit the lot this morning. So what makes the human heart hard? What makes the human heart closed? The only thing that can. And that's sin. Sin hardens the heart. Sin brings about an impenetrableness in the heart. That our hearts are hardened to God. Our hearts are hardened to Christ. Our hearts are hardened to spiritual things. Our hearts are hardened. And the only way our hearts can be unhardened, the only way they can be made penetrable, was through the grace and the love of Almighty God. The only way our hearts can be unhardened, the only way they can be opened up, is through the good grace of God Almighty. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The way our hearts are opened is through the grace and love of Almighty God. The way our hearts are closed, the way they're impenetrable, is through sin, through serving ourselves and our own ideas of God more than serving the living God as revealed in the Bible. Notice when the heart is closed, the seed is snatched. When the heart is closed, the seed is snatched. You know what that tells us? It tells us that it's possible to sit in Sunday morning service, have the Word of God hit our heart, only for it to be snatched away. It's possible to come to service week after week after week, have the Word of God thrown into our heart, but it never takes root. It's snatched away. Notice number two, the cloudy heart. I got to go fast. The cloudy heart. That's verse 5. Some seed fell among stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, I'm in verse 6, they were scorched. They were scorched. Why? Because they had no root. He explains this further in verse number 20. But he which receives seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and Adam with it, and with joy receiveth it. Which means you heard it and you liked it when you heard it. But verse 21, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth or endureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Right, so what happens? It's choked out. That's verse 22. He the same is also received seed among thorns, and it choked it out. The cares, the affection of this world. So the cold heart or the closed heart, the cloudy heart, there's no depth. There's no depth. What happens? It's all drama, no substance. How many of you know people like that? If you're sitting next to them, don't look at them. Do not point at them. It'll be a scene, and you don't want a scene. Some people, all drama, no substance. That's what he's saying. The cloudy heart, all drama, no substance. All show, no go. It's everything looks good, but there's no depth. There's no deepness. That's what he says. There's no depth. The roots aren't getting down into the soil so that they pull moisture out of the dirt. There's nothing there. And so what happens? It's scorched. As soon as things don't go my way, As soon as pastor starts talking about things I don't like, as soon as this gets really personal, no depth, no roots, the cloudy heart, the cluttered heart, that's verse 22, I started there, and he also received seed among thorns, is he that heareth the word, and then the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Right? So it seems as if the seed is taken root, but the trinkets and the toys of this world choke us to death. I love what the old timers would say. Those preachers from a century ago, they would say, what you spend your money on shows what you care for. What you spend your money on shows what you care for. That's what he's saying. It's the deceitfulness of riches that choke the word. It's the cares of this world that choke the word. But listen, this is really a conversation of idolatry. Idolatry always starts in the heart, and it always starts with a desire. Idolatry always starts in the heart, and it always starts with a desire. And that desire may not inherently be wrong or evil. But that desire, when it goes unchecked, by the scripture, when it goes unchecked by the spirit, when it goes unchecked by the word of God, that desire begins to grow into something that chokes out spiritual life. We have desire. We have a desire to have a nice house. We have a desire to have a nice car. We have a desire to have a lasting legacy. We have a desire to be rich. We have a desire to see our kids excel educationally or academically or athletically. We have a desire to see. There's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with a desire for a nice house. There's nothing wrong with a desire to see our kids excel. There's nothing wrong with our desire. But think of it this way, that when we have these desires and they're in the palm of our hands and our hands are open and we say, Lord, this is what we desire. This is what we would like to have, but you're God, you do best. And so I'm following you with an open hand. But over time, we start to close our hand and we start to say things like, I have to have it. I have to have a nice house. I have to have a nice car. My kids have to excel. And what happens? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches starts to choke out the spiritual truth. We close our hands and all of a sudden these desires become non-negotiables. If you don't give me this, if you don't do this, then I'm not serving you, I'm not following you, I'm not living for you, I'm not worshiping you, I'm not going after you. God, do whatever you want, you just can't touch this. And what God says is that's the evidence of an idol. That's the fruit, that's the work of idolatry. Do these things, but you cannot touch this. You cannot go after this. Notice this, these desires, they grow gradually. It grows in line with the fruit, who growing up, the care of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke out the word. When something takes precedent over our spiritual health, when anything takes precedent over our spiritual health, it becomes an idol. When anything takes precedent over our spiritual health, it becomes an idol. Last one, number four, there's the changed heart. There's the changed heart. Verse number 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Hey, listen, just because you're here doesn't mean you heard. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're heard. It takes time for God's word to be planted deep into our hearts and for that then to grow up into our life. But when it does, notice it is settled. The good ground, what is it? It's settled. It brings forth what? It brings forth fruit. It brings forth fruit. So as we lean into God's word, as we study God's word, as we talk about God's word, as we ask questions of God's word, as we lean into it, what happens? That spiritual truth, that seed, it hits our heart. Our hearts desiring to know God, our hearts going after God, our hearts wanting to please God, it takes root. And man, it sometimes takes time and we have to be patient, but it always brings forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. It always brings forth fruit. That's the changed heart. That's the changed heart. So watch me this morning. You have heard the word. Now what will you do with it? You have heard the word. Now what will you do with it? Watch this. There's spiritual atrophy. Look at verse 6. Or rather, look at verse 12. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away, even that he hath. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about spiritual atrophy. He's saying this. He's saying, use it or lose it. How many of you know you don't get more muscular, you don't get in better health, you don't get in better shape by sitting on the couch? We have some friends, I'm not going to mention their names, the Boomacods, but they gave me this ab shocker. I don't know what it is. They said, Brother Boomacod said, hey, pastor, put this on your abs. You could sit here and you let this thing like zap your abs and you end up with abs. It's like, you just get muscular this way. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, I strap it on. I'm eating guacamole. I'm downing chips and salsa. I'm eating pancit. I'm just eating. And the whole time, these electrical pulses are like, you know. So just like that, rock hard abs. You can eat everything you want. You can sit on the couch and you can have a workout. I'm watching, the Lakers are, you know. He's got this thing turned up to like, you know, 200 amps, you know. Or volts, or whatever it is. I don't know what it was. How many of you know it doesn't work like that? All I had was like just the shakes for like a week after that. See? Anytime my wife came near me, I was like, whoa, watch it. It doesn't work that way. When I was a little kid, I used to play the trumpet. My mom put me in band. I played the trumpet in 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. I stopped playing the trumpet in 8th grade. I begged my way out of it. I said, please don't make me play the trumpet anymore. She said, fine. So I got to stop. Listen, I took trumpet for like 6 years. If you gave me a trumpet right now, I have no idea what I'm doing with it. How many of you know you don't naturally get better? That's true physically, that's true as it relates to our talents, that's true as it relates to our physical abilities, our mental abilities. These are things that we have to keep working at. How many of you have forgotten something? You don't even know if you forgot something because you forgot it. You're like, I don't know, I guess. No one naturally moves in to better places. That's true physically. That's true as it relates to your physical health. That's true as it relates to your mental health. That's true as it relates to your spiritual health. Use it or lose it. That's what he's saying. You have to put to work the word of God that you have heard. And when you put God's word to work, it brings fruit. When you put God's word to work, it brings fruit. And here's the thing. I'm looking around the room, and most of you here this morning, these are things you've heard. These are things you know. These are things we've heard a dozen times. And yet, how easy it is for us to drift from that. How easy it is for us to move away from putting to work the things we're... So here it is. The seed is God's word. You and I are the sower. The soil is our heart. How's your heart this morning? Is it the good ground soaking in the word of God, using what we've heard? Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word.